Session number 12241, Mr. Laverick, Reel 1.
Mr. Laverick, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Laverick?
I was born in Lanarkshire, Scotland, 1910, 5th of October.
And what did your father do for a living?
Father, at that time, was working in the quarries because he was blacklisted from the mines.
How had that come about? Could you just explain the background?
Through trying to form trade unions up in the Durham area. They were forming the trade unions and the mines blacklisted them. They didn't want the unions.
Had your father always been involved in the trade union movement?
Always been involved in the trade union movement. The whole family were always involved in the trade union movement. Very strong trade unionists.
What had caused that? What do you think the family tradition had come out of? What had started it?
Poverty, just sheer poverty. We were, when you were blacklisted from the mines, in those days the miners, the house went with the job. If you were blacklisted, you lost the house. And it was nothing for miners to be out in the street under shelters. That was early on in the family history. We were like gypsies. We moved from area to area, street to street. We're actually in this area that I live now. We lived in three different streets because we worked at three different quarries. And each quarry had its own street of houses in that area. We lived in three different streets. He was blacklisted from one quarry, got a job at the other, he got a house with the job. We had to move from the house at one street, carry the furniture across the road into the next street and put it in there. And this was the system in those days. I actually remember a cheque that my father brought from the colliery. And this was when he worked at Seaton Burn, a wet pit. It was called a wet pit. And I always remember it because he took me down just before I left school to see if I wanted to work there. In those days, the eldest son had to follow the father into the mines. Now, my eldest son had followed my father into the mines, turned disillusioned, joined the Navy and got out as soon as he reached the age of 16 into the Navy. So it came down to the next one, which was me. But he gave me a choice. He said, I'll take you down to see the conditions. He said, you can make your own mind up. I'm not going to compel you. He took me down the mine at Seaton Burn on the Sunday when you had a chance to look round. And when I saw the conditions of the working down there, it was enough for me. I said, no, I'm not.
What was it like down the Seaton Burn?
It was a wet colliery. And they used to strip and put a leather jacket. It was low seam, so they put a leather... It wasn't a jacket, it was just a leather sheet over their backs for when they crawled through the... what they called the ways, the seams, into their seams. And these leathers, the leather saved their backs from being scraped on the roof. But it was a wet colliery. The water was dripping through all the time. It was termed a wet colliery.
Was it under the sea? One of those?
No. It was Seaton Burn. It was inland. It was well away from the sea. But it was a wet colliery. It must have been a shallow colliery. There was big waters, what they call lakes and things round about, and that used to go through. It must have went through because it was a very wet colliery. And the peculiar thing was the next one he went to was a dry colliery. He went to the Rising Sun in Wall's End. And it was a very deep colliery. It was a very hot colliery.
So, your father, how did the blacklist operate against your father? I mean, how did the mining... how did it work in the North?
What I was going to tell you about was the cheque that he got from the colliery, the one that turned my against coal owners. They were paid fortnightly in those days. They were paid fortnightly. And they actually didn't work for the owners of the colliery. They got together and they were the same as today, where your builders take on an outside firm to come in and do work that they do. What they'd done, three or four of them got together and worked a seam. They weren't actually working for the colliery, they were working for themselves. And they got so much per ton of the coal that they produced. So much per ton. This is what they got. Now, it was all right for some that were in a seam where the coal was soft. and where there were plenty of coal, but they used to draw lots at the end of the, or they were supposed to draw lots, but a peculiar thing was the people who were union people always got the worst draws. They always got the hardest areas to work. It was always the boss's friends that got the good areas. Now, he worked with three other people in a seam, post stone they came up against, and at the end of the fortnight, he got a cheque from the colliery, which put him in debt with the colliery, because they had to buy their own powder and squibs and such like in those days. And it was so hard to get through. They'd bought so, used so much powder, so much explosives, that the explosives bill came to more than what the work bill did. So he was in debt with the colliery. This was the reason he moved from Seatonburn. He never got a real easy work in the time he was there. He was blacklisted from there during the 1926 strike.
I'll come back to that. So when you were young, you'd started in Lanarkshire and then moved up to Durham.
No, moved up to Dudley and worked at Dudley Colliery. He was blacklisted then. We moved from there to Burren. And he worked at Burren. He was blacklisted then. He moved to Seatonburn. We moved to Gosforth. The Seatonburn houses were at Gosforth. And that's when we came to Gosforth. And that was in 19... We moved to Gosforth in 1916.
So how did this blacklist work? Was it just at one colliery?
One colliery. The collieries then were nearly all individually owned. There weren't companies, big companies. Seatonburn Coal Company may just have the one colliery. And then the next colliery belonged to a different owner. There were all different coal owners.
So he'd get blacklisted by organising for the union at a particular pit.
That's right.
And then he'd be blacklisted by that firm.
That firm, by that colliery.
But they didn't spread it, they didn't at that time pass the blacklist
around. They didn't
pack
the blacklist, they mustn't have, because he moved from colliery to colliery, so they mustn't have had the blacklist for the owners until after the 26th strike, when the owners got together and...
So... How did that affect your childhood? I mean, when you were very young, I mean, this moving and...
Well, you were always hungry. You never had the life that anyone else had. You see, living in the colliery village, outside the colliery village, people didn't know you. They didn't know you. You lived just in the village. And quite frankly, when I was going to school, I can remember... when I got up in the morning and nothing to eat in the house, and my mother gave me a penny and told me to call in the corner grocer, Mrs. Wilson's. They called it Wilson's. And I used to call in there and get a slice of bread and ask her to put butter on. She used to jam it in oil for me. That was, you were down as low, that was poverty. People don't realise today just what poverty is. That was what we termed poverty. For quite a long time, I had breakfast on a morning at the Co-op Hall. It wasn't the Co-op Hall, it was Tilly's Hall, but the Co-op supplied the food. And I used to go there in the morning, get my breakfast, and go to school. Leave school in the afternoon. My school was nearly 2 miles away because the nearest school was full up when I went to Gosforth, so I had to travel to the top school. And I had to leave school at dinner time. Nip down to South Gosforth to the soup kitchen at the Brandman and get my soup there for dinner and back to school. Then at night time I used to nip down to the hall, Headley's they termed it, where the, the adult school used to provide a tea. And that's how we lived for months because there was no food. You didn't have the money to buy the food. And that was, it was just sheer cussedness on the coal owner's part, because this was 1926, and they talk about the general strike. The general strike only lasted 6 days, and it was the government
But this was when you were younger than that, wasn't it?
Oh, younger than that.
Yeah.
When I was, this was before the general. This is how I came on to the political frame of mind.
What about your clothes? I mean, were your parents able to?
The first pair of boots I had, I got from the police station. I got them from the police station. I went to school, and I had a pair of gym shoes on that were worn right through. There was holes in them. And they sent me along to the police station. The police station had a fund. The police had a fund. And I got a pair of boots through them. And I used to take them off when I got home at nights, playing with bare feet. Everywhere I went, I was in bare feet, except when I went to school or went to chapel. We were chapel people. And if I went to chapel, we'd put the boots on. But the first pair of boots I had, I got them through the police.
Other clothes?
Other clothes, well, I wore what my brother was finished with. My older brother. We were both, there was only a year and a half between us. And what he was, I never had any new clothes when I was young. I never had any new clothes at all. I started work, and that was the first time I ever remember getting new clothes. And even at the Christmas time, we used to get a pair of socks, a pair of new socks. I don't know why, because bare feet was the order of the day nearly all the time, but we always got she always got us a pair of new socks. And that was your Christmas box. Pair of socks, hand-knitted socks, hand-knitted jerseys. Your mother knitted your jerseys. And your jersey and your socks there. It was a Christmas box. That's how you got your new clothes, as a Christmas box.
How many were there in the family? Just you and your brother?
At that time, early, but it was one of these families that makes and breaks. I've still got a brother yet that's not on pension age. There was more than 20 years between the eldest and the youngest, and they came not following each other. A couple, and then a couple more, and then a couple more. There was five of us in the family.
So
seven with the father and mother.
When you moved to Gosforth then in 1916, that was during the war. How did the war affect you, the First World War? Do you have any memories of it?
Well, the first thing I remember was actually before I moved to Gosforth, when I lived at Burden. And
where's that?
It's just outside of Killingworth, next to Killingworth. Burden's next to Killingworth. It's a peculiar thing, but where I lived there, the house is still there. Anderson's yard's still there. And the call the track, was just outside the back door. And of course, Colliery, outside toilets, and the way they used to be, toilets with a midden in between, if you know what a midden is. The midden used to be in between. And we used to go and play around the track and such like. And I always remember watching the airship coming across, what I thought was an airship. And I remember them coming and grabbing me and rushing into the house and telling me it was a Zeppelin. And it's a Zeppelin. It was German. And that's the first memory I ever have of wartime, except for trenches around Burden Colliery. The trenches round for the defence of the colliery. If the Germans came across, it was for the defence of the colliery. And that was the first memories I had of war.
What about there were quite a few troops training north of Newcastle. Did you come across them much?
The troops that were training up there, various camps. Camp at Dudley, there was a camp at Dudley where there were troops. And these are the ones, I believe, that had made the trenches round the collieries and such like. And there was a camp up at Benton. Benton was a camp there for the troops. And of course, I remember going visiting my relatives in Durham just after the First World War. And they were there. They had what they called at Birtley, just outside of Birtley. They had a camp there where POWs had been interned. And I remember going and visiting friends down there where the POWs had been interned at Birtley. and it must have been an internment camp there.
Did you ever meet the troops training much? I mean, you were a young lad. Were you curious about what they were?
I saw them in uniform, that was all. Saw them in uniform.
Didn't mix with them.
But it made no impression on me then. It was later on in the years that it really started to make an impression and wonder why they were dressed differently. And
what about your school then?
First school I went to was at Burriddon. I started school in Burriddon. And happy days, I liked them. I liked the Burriddon school.
What was good about it?
The teacher we had was an extremely nice teacher. I always remember her, Miss Lila called her. And the reason that I enjoyed it was because I got amongst youngsters of different groups, different groupings. I'd been only with minors children previously. It was a new world for me. Going to school was a new world for me. And I started school then and moved from then, came to Gosforth and got into the Church of England school in Gosford. I was chapel myself, but I got into Church of England school because the state school at South Gosforth was full when we came to Gosforth, and my brother and I had to go up to the Church of England school. And
how did that compare, that school?
It was very, very good. We had a good headmaster. I always remember him, R.W. Clark, county cricketer. And the only dislike we had was that he was so cricket mad that when the football season started, you still had to go along to the moor with the stumps and the bat and play cricket when you saw the other schools kicking the balls around. He used to carry on with cricket till almost the snow came. He used to be freezing at the crease. But he was very good, and something always sticks in my mind, arguments that I got into in later years, and the first man that went on the moon. Now, this was the greatest upset I'd ever had, because I had a teacher at the National School, it was called the National School, called Knox, had a shop in Seaton Burn, in the Colliery area. He understood Collier's children. And Knox, I think the world of him. We had a Miss Hardy as well, I used to like. But Knox always told us that the moon was actually a reflection of the sun. And that when you got an eclipse, it was blacked out because the world had went across the sun's surface and stopped the reflection. And I was always brought up to understand that the moon was a reflection of the sun. And when they started to talk about going to the moon, I thought it was ridiculous. And I thought people were going mad. I was the only sane person. Till it happened.
Did you get a solid founding there? Did you get the 3 hours? Or
We got the 3 hours, yes. But we had a very strict... R.W. Clark was a very strict chap and made sure that your work was done. Always remember, they built a new cinema in Gosforth, and when it opened, my friend and I, who went to the same school, decided we'd go to the First House Pictures. So we went to the First House Pictures, and as we're coming down the stairs, R.W. Clark was going into the second house, and he pulled us up and he said to my friend John, "Finished your homework?" "Yes, sir." And he said to me, "Have you finished your homework?" "No, sir, I'm finishing it. I'm going to do it when I go home." And I always remember the next day when I went to school and I was brought out in front of the whole school and punished for not doing my homework straight away when I went home. I always remember that. The punishment used to be pretty severe.
It was
always in front of the school, not in front of the class.
And what was it?
The cane. We used to get the cane. Hardy used to give you the cane across the hand, but he used to lean you over the chin, give it on your behind.
A bit harsh.
Harsh, but I suppose I must have been one of the toughies. It didn't bother me. It didn't bother me.
So, you were at the school. How did what did you do for recreation outside the school? Were you in the Boy Scouts, the Boys Brigade, or the chapel? organisation?
The Chapel Brigade. I was in that for a short time with a pillbox.
Is that Church Lads Brigade?
Church. Church Lads Brigade, I think it was called, with the pillboxes. But I wasn't satisfied with it.
What didn't you like about them?
Well, they used to call it sissified. Sissified was pushing too much religion down your throat.
Were you religious at all?
I went to chapel because I had to.
But were you religious?
I was compelled. I was never religious. No, I was never religious. I could never find an argument for religion or an argument against religion. It was something that I just couldn't get interested in. Couldn't get interested in religion. There was nothing there.
What did you do to him? I mean, when you weren't doing your homework, what did you do just to amuse yourself when you were a youngster?
Looking for food. My brother and I, there's a lake at Gosforth Park. And there was quite a lot of wildlife. Actually, today it's a nature reserve today. But there were quite a lot. It was privately owned then. But we used to know a way in. And we used to go to the lake. And the water hens and the swans, we used to wait the laying season and nip along and pinch their eggs. And we used to take their eggs home and tell my mother, "Oh, we found a nest down at the burn." We used to never tell them where we'd been. Found a nest down at the burn. We used to take these eggs home. I think we'd done a great job of work. And you were always out, and I'll tell you what it is. The talk about being rationed and such like. Many's the time that we went out, and the best feed we've had's from the hawthorn. New leaf on the hawthorn. And a type of thistle that we used to get a sort of nut out of. And we used to know exactly what we could eat. And we used to go hunting in the pastures and things for all these sort of things. Sour ducking. We used to love the sour ducking. We used to eat the sour ducking. Rose hips. We used to strip there and have the rose hips. And this is the sort of thing we'd done when we were young. For games, we used to get up to mischief. We used to get up to various mischief. I remember one time the fire brigade being turned out at South Gosforth. We had an old culvey there, and the ruins were still standing, the Brandon culvey, the engine house and such like was still standing. It was a peculiar built thing, because there used to be a 2-inch projection from the first course to the second course of stones that went up. A 2-inch projection all the way up. And then there was the shaft where the cage used to go down at the side. But the shaft was gone. We used to climb up this projection into the engine house. And we were seen in the engine house on the top one time. Someone sent for the fire brigade. So when we heard the fire bells going and the engine come, we realised it was for us. So we climbed down the side and down the shaft. And there was a small hole inside the shaft that we got into. Waited there, and someone went home and told my parents that we'd fallen down the pit shaft and that the fire brigade were there trying to get us out. So we had to stop there for 3 or 4 hours. People went away, and then we climbed out and away home. And this was the sort of things we got up to as children in those days. You know, we were no different to children in these days, I don't think, except we weren't violent the way they were. We weren't violent the way kiddies are today.
Were you tempted to steal?
Yes. We used to always steal. We used to go to the grocer's as we were going to school, and he used to have dried apricots and dried apples and such like along the front of his counter. And we used to nip in there. We'd wait till the customers went in. And the time we were serving the customers, we used to nip in, get dried apricot or dried apples and nip out and away with them. If you got caught, you got to hide, and you didn't worry about that.
Was it anything more serious?
No, we never broke in. We never broke into houses and such like. We got up to japes. We got up to various japes. I always remember that we used to colliery houses. When you went into a colliery house in those days, you didn't have doorknobs. You had snecks, what they call snecks, and you pressed the sneck down to open the door. You had the hand grip with the snick on the top. So what we used to do, we used to get a thread, put it from the window to the snick, and under the tiles above the snick, we used to keep working the thread to make the snick go and make the people come out, dance at their doors and such like. And we used to upset people in this way. But we were never violent. I can't remember any time we ever had any violence. But we had three groups in those days. The Pitties were the Pitties. Now, they were the Colvey children, the Pitties. Now, we had the Petip at South Gosforth. A lot of people don't remember it now, but we had a Petip there. We had the Pitties, we had the Sandys, and they were called the Sandys because of Sandringham Road. The Audleys because of the Audley Roads. Now, they used to go to the South Gosforth School. We used to go to the High Gosforth School. So what we used to do when school was out was to race from school to get on the top of the pit heap first. And then when the Sandys and the Audleys came, you had sufficient stones on the top for to throw to keep them back. And this was the sort of thing that we done, battles. We used to have the battles on the pit heap. Who could get on the top of the pit heap? We used to battle this. I always remember because my oldest brother got a slate and cut his nose right through, a severe gash. And I remember we used to have, it wasn't a pram, it was the pram wheels with a bit of board on. And we stuck them on the board. And there was a Dr. Harbottle lived up by the station, South Gosforth Station. And we rushed him to Dr. Harbottle to get his nose stitched. He was a good doctor. He wasn't our doctor. I don't know what sort of doctor he was, but we used to always go there. And I always remember when we took him up. And he says, "You people again, I'm going to charge your parents for this." And we were worried to death in case he was going to charge you. He wasn't, in those days, you had your own doctors. You had to pay a doctor's man weekly for the CT, to keep you on the panel. You hadn't a panel, you just had the doctor, and you used to pay a weekly fee to the doctor. But I always remember him getting his nose cut, and we run him up, and the doctor telling us he was going to charge our parents, and going home and telling our parents that we're going to be charged. And mother immediately got dressed and went up to see what the trouble was and whatnot, and he sorted things out and told her that it was a threat he'd made. He'd seen us so often that he had threatened to charge us next time.
Was there any part-time job before you left school? Any part-time jobs?
Oh, yes, my goodness. We used to keep the home going when my father was out of work, my brother and I. We used to go down canyon at the Bridle Path Golf Course and used to get, in those days, you used to get a shilling around, but tuppence was kept off for insurance. You got tenpence for carrying it around. Well, it used to take about 3 hours... 3.5 hours to go around the course, to carry the bags around the course.
What was the insurance for?
The insurance was in case you got struck with a ball or anything the time you were out, and they had to say to you. But this is what the pro told you. But later on, we found out that all this money went to the pro. We found it all went to the pro. These tuppences all went to the pro. So of course, when there was a competition, and you had 50 or 60 caddies there, he had a decent comeback, 60 tuppences. And this was per round. If you'd done two rounds in that day, it cost you the fourpence for the two rounds. And for that, he gave you a badge to prove to the people coming in that you went and accosted for to carry their bags, that you were a caddy. This proved you were a caddy. You just stuck it on until you got your job and you went caddying.